2013 is the 40th year of the Governor's Arts Awards. The state will be honoring one organization this year with its roots at Indiana University Bloomington, but with a reach that covers all corners of the state. Traditional Arts Indiana was established in 1998 and is headquartered in an old house on Fest Street. Researchers travel around Indiana speaking with local creative types, from weavers and instrument makers to casket builders and hoop net makers. John Kay is the director of TAI. He says part of their job is to find the art that is embedded in our everyday lives.
If you look around you, people make aesthetic choices, artistic choices all the time, from what you order for lunch to the way you dress. That's on one extreme of it. We tend to look for those people who take it often to the next level and become the folks that people look to. That people, they don't really think of themselves as traditional necessarily, but it's because it's rooted in their community both spatially and temporally.
Kay explains that usually arts organizations like TAI are housed in state governments. By partnering with Indiana University, TAI is able to employ the skills of some of the world's best scholars and students in folklore and ethnomusicology. Annie Corrigan sat down with John Kay to talk about the Governor's Arts Award and some of the interesting material they've collected over their 15 years of research.
One of the great things about Traditional Arts Indiana is the fact that we get wonderful students from all over the world, and we end up placing them in wonderful jobs around the country and beyond, from the Smithsonian to StoryCorps to the Staten Island Folklife Project. But one of the students that came to us from China was Andrew Wei, and Andrew just had a passion for old-time music and bluegrass music, and he went scouring the jamming sessions and little community operas throughout southern Indiana, and came up with just a wonderful selection of bluegrass and old-time music for us.
And that's a little bit of what we're listening to right now is some of the music that he collected. So I guess the first question is, how do you find these artists?
I always say it's kind of like the drinking game, the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's never the first person that you go to talk to, and it's never the second, but one person leads you to another person that leads you to another person that leads you to another person. And what we're looking for are people who are significant within a very localized context. People that I've worked with would be like Milan Opasic, a Serbian instrument maker up in the Calumet region who just passed away this last year. And he, for over 60 years, made instruments for this local community. We've also worked with hoop net makers down in Daviess County who, you know, we didn't even know about until a year ago when we were doing a county survey. And that's one of the ways that we identify traditional arts is we hire a folklorist. You've had Joe O'Connell on your mm-hmm. program before. And we go into a community. The folklorist is there for a month. And then, or more sometimes, and they just start asking and they play that 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon game, but it's 7 degrees of Larry Hopkins or 7 degrees of Bernice Inyart, you know. Mm-hmm. One person leads to another and it keeps rippling out from there.
So you have to be good talkers, good conversationalists basically.
Well, you have to be good talkers at first and then you have to be a good shut-upper. because there's nothing worse than this is like being a radio host, I would imagine. You need to know how to talk, but then you also need to know how to be quiet when someone else is talking and really listening to what they're trying to tell you.
One of the interesting stories that I remember reading on the website is about Richard Serafinoff, who's a horn professor at the Jacobs School of Music, but also makes natural horns. Mm-hmm. I don't know if a lot of people would necessarily consider making natural French horns a traditional art. Can you talk about why that fit into TAI?
Well, what we did, we took the whole idea of folk art or folk music and folk craft, and we just kind of set it aside for that project. And what I decided to do was say musical instruments of all kinds are really the compass for understanding the aesthetics and values of a community. You know, if you don't make good instruments, you're not going to make a lot of them because you're not going to be able to get rid of a lot of them. And so we went looking for the player's instruments, and we found Richard Serafinov just by looking at instrument makers. We found an Iranian centaur builder in Muncie, Indiana, in a little bitty basement of his shop, and he just kept going, "How did you find me?" You know, and it was really amazing. He was shocked, but it was one of those 7 degrees. We found a centaur player in Chicago that played one of his instruments. We contacted him. He told us how to contact Ehsan Kasari, and just a wonderful man and wonderful instrument maker. But it kind of defies the whole idea of folk art, folk craft being something that's learned traditionally from face-to-face communication. But sometimes it's not that time depth that's important. It's that social connectedness. It's place within community. And so we're looking at both. In one chance, I'll talk about Dee Neerman, who's a fifth-generation rag rug maker in Jackson County. But then I'll talk with, let's say, Gustav Potthoff, who is a veteran who survived the death camps of Burma and Thailand, helped build the bridge over River Kwai. And his paintings in no way connect to a community tradition. He didn't start painting until he was retired. But telling stories, stories are very much a part of community tradition. And making this art is just one aspect of his storytelling.
Hearing you talk about this, I want to hear the stories and I want to hear the music. How can I get access to this stuff?
A lot of our material is on a there's a portal from our traditionalartsindiana.org website, which will lead you to a map of the state, and you can click through and you can see photographs and read text and you can hear audio and watch videos in some cases.
Great resource. Well, the reason we brought you in today is that the Traditional Arts Indiana honored with a Governor's Arts Award this year, 40th anniversary of the Governor's Arts Award. So this is really special. How does it feel to be honored by the state?
It's pretty mind-blowing. I'm one of those people, I keep my head down and do my job. You know, we're an organization that basically has one person, me. But then we connect with organizations throughout the state, regional arts partners, nonprofits, state parks. And we also connect with students and scholars who partner with us on projects. And so it's really, you know, sometimes when you hear that an organization has received an award like this, there's this idea that, oh, this corporate thing. This is really meaningful to us because it's really about those individuals we partnered with, those artists who we've sat across the table from and interviewed their stories and listened intently to them. And it's not just a recognition of what we've done, but a recognition that there is art in everyday life and that art and aesthetic choices are all around us continually. And I just feel really gratified that we're getting this honor.
When I saw that you guys received this, I thought, you know, maybe this is going to help them fund more projects. Because I know small organizations like yours, sometimes it's hard to get a budget that allows you to do everything you want to do. Are you thinking that maybe this could be a turning point for TAI, maybe get some more money?
I'm really hopeful. A program like ours is really hard to fund because we get funds from the state. We get some funds from the National Endowment for the Arts, which we're very, very thankful, but those are very competitive. But unlike most arts programming, folk arts are often ignored because they are embedded in everyday life. It's not like the playhouse that you go to see or an orchestra that has an ongoing concert series that's out in front of you. And also the fact that we're a statewide organization makes it really difficult. When people want to give to the arts, they want to give locally. But we're not just local. We're doing work up in Chesterton, Indiana, which is right up on the near the dunes in northern Indiana. And we're down in Tell City doing work down on the Ohio River area. And it's really difficult for us to find funders because of those two principles.
We want to highlight one more bit of work you guys do. We were talking about an Amish casket maker before we got started.
Yes. One of the things about the work that we do is sometimes things are big and visible. We do programs in parks. We do concerts. We do various types of exhibitions, those sorts of things. But sometimes all an artist really wants for us is to come and talk with them, and we record their stories and we listen to them. Laverne Miller was one of those people. I was doing work up in and around Shipshawana area, the Amish and Mennonite communities up there. This is a conversation with Laverne Miller on September the 26th, 2010. And I'm John Kay. We're going to be talking about Amish casket and coffin making. Put that on there so I know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Very distinctive, the six-sided caskets. The top folds completely down because in the Amish community, people pass on both sides. And it's always an open casket no matter what the situation has been. And I listened to him talk about how he viewed his craft as being traditional. Also got into some of the issues of what was some of the threats, you know, having a family with two sons and not enough business to keep both those sons in the family business.
My two sons are working for me. The oldest one takes a pretty good interest in it. Yeah, he will probably continue this tradition.
You use that word tradition quite a bit. How is that important to you?
Well, it's important. Now, take the style of casket, the coffin for the Amish community. It's important to me to keep that style. I call that a tradition. And it's important to me to keep that style. Now, we have made some changes, slight changes in measurements only, but the actual design has remained the same, and it's important for me that it remains that way after I leave.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Do you happen to remember the story of how you found Laverne Miller?
I actually was doing field work up there, and that was part of that 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. I had found a man, Cliff Paquette, who had lived up in the Amish community for 30 years or more. And he had identified several artists, and he came to me and he said, you know, there are these people who, you know, I don't see any real reference to Amish artisans. I'd like to introduce you to a harness maker. I'd like to introduce you to a saddle maker. I'd like to introduce you to a buggy maker, furniture makers. And we went around the community, and Laverne was just one of those folks we talked to.
The thing that I'm going to take away from this interview is that you are so good with names. You have like a Rolodex of all these folks you talk to. That's incredible. Are you that good with faces too?
No.
No, just names. Can you give me a couple things that you're working on right now at TAI?
We've just finished up a survey of limestone artisans that just finished. And now we're doing a series of projects on traditional arts and the environment, looking at how natural resources and cultural resources intersect. And we're going to be doing a series of programs in parks. One of the things I'm also doing is over in Columbus, a program on folk art and aging. And I'm really excited about this, allowing me to take some of my personal interest in how the traditional arts and the folk arts help people successfully age, and kind of a series of observations that I've made after almost 20 years of doing this type of work.
If this sounds interesting and you want to attend one of these events, find information on the TAI website.
All of these events are listed in our events section on the traditionalartsindiana.org website.
Congrats on the Governor's Arts Award. What an honor.
Well, thank you very much.
John Kay is the Director of Traditional Arts Indiana. TAI will be receiving a Governor's Arts Award this year at the ceremony on September 26th. Other honorees include philanthropist Crystal DeHaan, music educator Cynthia Hartshorn, singer-songwriter John Hyatt, Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan, and the late director, producer, and actor Sidney Pollack.